What sort of coaching did you used to get in your playing days?
Coaching was very hit and miss, very invariably done by the captain. It was usually, we'd start off with a bit of touch rugby, then obviously some moves, you know, in-skate moves, and then probably finish up with a run around the streets of Gloucester sort of thing. Very, very non-structured. But when Don Rutherford came, that's when the structure in the training regimes came. I think Don did bring something to training regimes, because he went on to higher things anyway in the coaching side, isn't he? But it was very much a hit and miss. And the shed was probably the most... I was beasted time and time again. I'd run up down the shed by Ivor Oakes, who was a coach. The captain used to be the predominant coach person, and if he was able to get somebody to his assistant coach with me, he did so. And Ivor Oakes was a fitness fanatic, about an ex-Treadworth player. Played a couple of games for United, or maybe many, I'm sure.
He played a few in that first season.
I'm insulting Ivor in that respect. Ivor's still around, but he was another guy who took me under the wing in training-wise, but he used to beast me up and down those steps, you know. And indeed other players. And John Dix recalls when we had the Boxing Day games on Christmas Day, he'd have his lunch and then come down and up and down the steps to work off his Christmas lunch, you know. But those shed fans now, if they care to look carefully at the concrete, they'll see blood and sweat ingrained in those steps from our basic training days.
And how many training sessions did you have?
Tuesdays and Thursdays and the game Saturdays. But then we were just bringing in the floodlights, so Wednesday's games used to come into being. And so it was Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then there was a game invariably Wednesdays. And I know, obviously, when I was captain of the United in that 70, my time with Gloucester was, you know, 6 days, 7 days a week. What with committee meetings, training sessions, you know. And I think if you look at some of the number of games the first teams played, Malcolm, the fact that we played in 52 games in some respect. Less 42 there, 44 there, and what I'm looking at now. But we were playing some lot more than first division football sides at the time.
And how was the selection of the teams organised?
Well, you obviously the two captains, United and first. You had a chairman of selectors, and I think there were about three or four other committee men who, you know, used to select. And obviously, chairman of selectors used to be at every match, and indeed, well, in selectors obviously had to try and be at every match anyway. But then you had the United to cover, so you had the deputies and that.
And what, you met on a training night, did you?
We met up. Invariably it was on the Tuesday, because they then wanted the display the side or get the side ready for the Thursday.
Yeah.
So the squad, first team squad or whatever, could train on the Thursday as a squad. Tuesday nights was selection night. It then was in the Citizen on the Wednesday and went over to the public to see who was in the side, yeah.
Oh, so the players found out by reading the Citizen, did they? Or
well, we used to, but obviously, those were in the training. If they stopped late enough, the list used to go up on the notice board.
Right.
And some of those guys used to wait to the end. But yes, I suppose really you waited till the press on the Wednesday evening to see whether you were selected or not.
Yeah. They didn't send cards out.
Do you know that? That escapes me now. Also, we made sure that the first team were obviously made sure somehow that they were aware. Don't think so, Mark, in my memory. County, obviously, you did. You got notification of the selection and what have you. But the first team, that was my routine anyway. Tuesdays was a day of the selection.
Right, and. Representative honours? What represents?
Well, a couple of county, I won't say caps, didn't get a cap, county games. Somerset, Devon, Monmouth. It was at that time when I was, and then obviously I got the travelling reserve for the southwestern counties at that time. But that's as far as Albemarle and I went. And I say breaking my ankle, some emotionally must have subconsciously, I lost perhaps a bit of appetite in just that. Get up and go. So
that was 61, 62.
The
year after you had that long, long run of games.
I'm sure it's 61, 62. Again, my records. I'm really thinking from memory now. But I did finish up, for a couple of county games, and I did get fit, obviously, in what because I broke my ankle in the April. And through the summer, it healed. Worked with John Herbert, who I mentioned before, on his farm, humping bells and trying. And then was then selected for the Monmouth in the. But I knew then I wasn't playing to my the ability I was prior to my break. For some reason, I suppose the appetite went, but it was subconscious. It wasn't I didn't. But I, And this is, and then when you used to get the likes of Tom Day, you just kick my bum and say, for Christ's sake, get on with your rugby,
How come you didn't get awarded a cap for your county?
Because I didn't play for a full season. You had to play the three counties, didn't you? You had to play Somerset, Devon, and Cornwall. You had to do and the Southern Counties games. And I didn't play those three.
But Tom Day was a county selector, wasn't he, at that time?
Tom.
You were talking about Tom Day, yeah.
Tom Day, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So that's how
he
came to...
J.B. Smith and the Cheltenham guys
advice.
And...
Now, at the end of season, you had the tour down to the West Country.
Yes.
Did you go on those?
I went some times, but I'd say the most... I broke my leg on the Tuesday before we went on tour on the Thursday, so I didn't go on that tour. And I think because I didn't play so many games, hence this is why my name's not on the honour board so much, you were obviously only invited to go on tour if you played a certain amount of games, of course. So I didn't get that invitation, but I hear lots of stories and what have you. Things they used to get up to worse than the England Rugby Union thing.
It's not too good either.
No. But I remember the Teamouths and the Teamouths and all those sort of games and Denport services and what have you. Yeah. So, yes.
Clearly the end of season tour was, they were playing, but it was a social event as well. So let's move on to the social side of playing for Gloucester. What was that like?
The social side was... I couldn't, for my part, I was a bit of a weakling. I couldn't cope with drinking copious amounts of beer. That was probably my failing in life. I still can't drink copious pints of beer after going on the wine.
It may be why you're looking very well.
Well,
now.
Yeah, okay. There, and,
did you have a party piece that you?
No, I was very much I wasn't. I didn't have a party piece. Unlike the likes of Burton Davis or Baggy Hudson and John Herbert and.
So what were their party pieces?
Well, obviously Baggy could just sing forever.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what Tony Davis's party piece was on the coaches because that's so atrocious. It's untrue. don't ask me that one because I can't convey that on to the public. It is. Party pieces, yes, it was mostly singing, I think, and for me, that's what sticks in my memory anyway. But for me, I was a shrinking flower, I think, where those sort of things concerned.
Yeah.
I wasn't so confident in my ability to talk to people as I probably am now, but.